Hi, and welcome to our shoe pod on back-to-back supply chains. I'm Caroline Chester. I'm a principal associate in ShoeSmith's commercial team, and I do a lot of work in relation to supply chains, in particular in commercial contract transactions.
Hi, I'm Rachel Rostell. I'm an associate also in ShoeSmith's commercial team, and I also work a lot on supply chain contracts in commercial contracting.
So we're going to start looking at what is a supply chain and what do we mean by back-to-back supply chains and why is it important to consider back-to-backing arrangements?
A supply chain is essentially a network of people and organisations that collaborate to bring products from concept creation, research and development, design and manufacture, all the way to the sale and delivery to end users. So essentially, it's the full journey of movement of goods, certain services from start to end. Supply chains can be very complex systems and include many different types of participants. Some of the typical participants we would see in a supply chain include raw material suppliers, manufacturers, distributors, franchisers, logistics providers, etc. But the terminology of who these participants are and what their roles are can vary by industry. Also, it's worth noting that a party may play more than one role in the supply chain. For example, one party may be both a manufacturer and a distributor. Back-to-back agreements are essentially commercial subcontracts that mirror all or parts of the terms of a main contract further up the contractual supply chain. This is often achieved by incorporating by reference into the back-to-back agreements all the terms of the main contract, except for those parts of the main contract that are explicitly excluded or varied. So, for example, the price. The way that back-to-back agreements work is to pass down the same rights and obligations from one party to another, so that the people carrying out the work or providing the services carry the responsibility and are liable for any breach of the obligations. In general, there are key provisions from a main contract that a party might want to include in back-to-back agreements, including dates and deliverables, including any reporting obligations and deadlines, notice periods, and obligations relating to delivery of the goods or services, especially relating to timings and making claims under the main contract. In many instances, the party will want the term and termination provisions of a back-to-back agreement to mirror the main contract. So if the main contract ends, the back-to-back agreement will also then end. You don't want to be locked into another agreement if the main contract is itself terminated. So the parties might want to make sure that they can exit a back-to-back agreement for the same or similar reasons as the main agreement, or for other certain reasons on written notice. Karen, what do you think are the issues which commonly arise when we're looking at supply chains?
So when we're looking at issues, we've had lots of Brexit-related sourcing concerns recently, which then morphed into the pandemic. We've had the war in Ukraine, and now we're looking at inflationary pressures that have gripped the world. All of these put pressures on individual parts of the supply chain, and if not managed properly, the chain can fall apart. Knowing which part of the supply chain, both upstream or downstream, is affected or likely to be susceptible to disruption and how much pressure each part of the chain can take is key to know. In our contracts, there are other issues that can crop up. We tend to see problems where there's no supply chain visibility. And there, it's not clear which part of the chain is responsible for which responsibilities. Can make it difficult to mitigate any problems if there's an issue. Sometimes there's no flex over inventory levels and any products being purchased. That can mean that there's a shortage of stock, or a supplier or a manufacturer can be saddled with too much stock and unable to shift it. We see poor customer or supplier communication, which means that parties' expectations are not managed properly. For example, in the case of unexpected lead times, parties can often work around that together if they're aware of it in advance. Without this, it means that the relationship is not future-proofed and the risk of a costly dispute is increased. Finally, parties sometimes don't think about a plan B. And it's important for suppliers and customers to consider what will happen if their products or services aren't received as expected. So thinking about things like different supply sources, different suppliers, insurers, and how customers will be managed if products or services aren't received. In the contract, we can look at things like the scope of what's being supplied. So is there clarity throughout the chain about what is being required and what is being supplied by who? Are we clear on the quantity, specification, timescales and performance? We look at price. So can suppliers in any part of the chain pass on price increases, and do customers have to accept them? If these price increases can be passed on, often employee costs could go up. How can these be managed with customers, and what are the timescales for passing them on? Is this scope of price increases manageable? And what alternatives are there if a party is unwilling to accept these price increases? We look at key performance indicators and service level agreements. What KPIs and SLAs are offered throughout the supply chain, and are those workable? Is there a mismatch between what the customer wants and what suppliers are willing to offer? And if there is, how is that managed? Do SLAs or KPIs have any contractual bites, such as service credits, or are they only measuring and monitoring metrics? Is there a way of managing this to have policies and key performance indicators that are well-defined and understood, which are pre-agreed up through the supply chain, that can then be offered to customers? This can be easier to manage compared to ad hoc arrangements, which are bespoke to each customer and supplier in chain. Finally, we look at responding to change throughout the supply chain. So what happens if a customer's requirements change? What happens if the characteristics of the raw materials or components change? And what happens if there are unexpected events which happen during the course of relationship? This can be force majeure or insolvency or other change in market factors that can be managed. And how are any contingencies managed? We're going to look at further questions to ask when planning the management of your supply chain, which Rachel is going to talk about.
So one of the key questions that we should be asking ourselves when looking at our supply chain is thinking about what could go wrong and what you can ultimately do about it. As Caroline's just run through, there are many things that can go wrong within your supply chain. So the more you can think about that upfront and plan for it, the better. For example, supply shortages, soaring prices, new legislation, etc. Think about what kind of protections you might need. Can force majeure help you? Or potentially in the worst case, what remedies will you need in the event that something does go wrong and you haven't been able to mitigate it? Another question we can look at is, if the worst comes to the worst, can you exit the arrangement? When looking at this, we need to weigh up how easy it is for you to exit, but also take into consideration how easy it is for the other party to exit as well, and what the potential impact could be on you if they did. Depending on your negotiation position, if you want the ability to exit an arrangement easily, it's worth bearing in mind that the other party may insist on the same or similar rights as well. And this is where that back-to-back arrangement might help, and having the same termination provisions. We also really want to think about how you'll manage the risks, not just financially, which of course is important, but also from a reputational perspective. In addition, you need to think about what affects your supply chain now, but also what's likely to impact your supply chain in the future. Where possible, we need to try and make sure that we're future-proofing arrangements by having one eye on the future. It's not always easy, but sometimes we can see legislation coming down the line, for example, so the more that we can future-proof arrangements for that, the better. Finally, we want to think about ways that you can minimise those risks, maybe through the contract, through relationship management, through communication, and definitely through early preemption where possible. There are obviously many other questions that we can be asking ourselves, but those are some key points that we need to be focusing on. So Caroline, we've touched on some really interesting points there, but are there any key takeaways?
There are. So at the contract negotiation stage, think really carefully about what obligations we're taking on and the extent to which we can back-to-back those with other partners in the supply chain to mitigate any risk and balance it through the chain. If you can't mirror your obligations, are you taking it on as a risk, and how are you going to manage that? Can you take out special insurance to make sure that you're protected and the business is not at risk? It might be that the risk is unacceptable in certain supply chain, and you'll need to think about declining to accept certain contracts with a customer to make sure that the business is protected. And at the end of the day, there's not a risk of insolvency for you. Ensure that the arrangements are considered before agreeing to buy or supply to make sure that you've got some certainty about the level of risk which you can take on. Sometimes it's important to have standard documents which can help, especially when it comes to documenting what you are willing to offer and agreeing with different parties along the supply chain. And in there, you can include your requirements or offerings and procurement processes in your tender submissions wherever possible. However, it's important to have a degree of flex in your contracts, so that each business arrangement can flex with the changing market and any supply chain issues can be mitigated before they arise.
Thanks, Caroline. Those are really interesting key takeaways for everybody to have a good think about. That's it for Back to Back Supply Chains for today. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.